Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here today with Megan Doherty, Executive Director for CB State of Mind, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the mental well-being of local residents. Megan, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with an introduction to you. Tell us about your background and how you came to lead CB State of Mind.
You want the long end or the short story? I grew up in Wisconsin, right on the border of Minnesota, ended up at school at the University of Minnesota Duluth. I have a degree in sociology and criminology. And so that led me into a path of wilderness therapy, so a hoods in the woods approach to helping adolescents who've made bad choices, an alternative to 2 years in juvie, as you say. So that actually brought me to Montrose when I got a job with Alternative Youth Adventures. And working there, somebody was like, you got to check out Crested Butte. I think you'd love it. So I found myself in Crested Butte the weeks that I was not in the field for about 3 years. And then as life happens, I ended up having a baby and staying here and was like, I need to get back into my career and finding a job. And so I got a job with Gunnison County in the Department of Juvenile Services back in 2009 and helped start a family support program there called FAST, and did a lot of youth prevention and community work, building collaborations around high-risk, high-need families that were involved in multiple systems. And I did that for about 10 years. And as part of that work, we were all really honed in on the need for suicide prevention and some community coalition work around that. And at the same time, there was a rash of suicides happening in Crested Butte. And as we all know, this tight-knit community started convening and coming together and saying, there's great stuff happening, but it's not solving the problem and we need to do better. And so that was kind of like the grassroots movement that started CB State of Mind. The two women that were hosting those gatherings both left the community. And with that, it sort of fizzled and died. Another woman came to the community from Denver and was just kind of poking around and really interested in data and the needs for mental health in rural communities, and found a therapist, Christine Osmondson, who shared the same last name as the woman, Nancy Osmondson, who was convening the community at the time. So ironically, they were like, this isn't me, but I'm really interested. And so they started looking at the data, looking at the need, and decided we're going to put some legs to this work and we're going to create a nonprofit. And at the time, all they had was a name. They came up with CB State of Mind. They had some ideas around the need that weren't being met. And they put out a call for an executive director. I had since left my position at the county and was sort of in limbo. And as I have a master's in social work now, and I love the community macro level work, and I'd lived in this community for, at that point, 15 plus years. And because of the collaborative work I was already doing, had a lot of relationships with the organizations and systems. And I was like, this is perfect for me. And I literally accepted a job that had no funding, nothing but like a name and idea. And we were fiscally sponsored at the time by the Community Foundation, the Gunnison Valley Community Foundation. And that's how it came to be. And that was in 2019.
And you're still going strong.
And we're still going strong. So yeah, it started with an idea of the need and a name. And from there, I helped grow it into an official 501c3, put a board of directors together, was thankfully early on connected to some other organizations across Colorado that were working on similar missions, and learned a lot from them, one being Building Hope of Summit County. And so we took our time to really build the foundation in those building blocks of CB State of Mind in order to be successful, not just today, tomorrow, but, you know, 5 years down the road. The Community Foundation was really instrumental in helping us do that. And so we were ready. We knew what we wanted to do. We had the nuts and bolts in place. And then the pandemic hit. And I was, you know, in my living room trying to start a nonprofit and homeschooling two kids. And April 2020 hit and everyone was at home. And we launched our therapy scholarship program amidst those stay-at-home orders. And it's grown beyond my wildest dreams from that, in thanks to the community support.
I imagine the need that seemed ever-present, or maybe omnipresent is the right word, at that time. It was pretty clear people were struggling in those very early weeks and months of the pandemic. And that was probably somewhat motivating to you, even though you were only in your living room.
Yeah, we were going to start small. We started with a partnership with 10 therapists in the community. I should back up a minute. CB State of Mind is a mental wellness connector. So we set ourselves up as knowing that there was a need for people to know where to turn to when they didn't have anywhere else to go. People didn't know how to find help for themselves, to find help for other people when they were struggling. They didn't know how to access the care that existed in this community. And so that is our premise, being that mental wellness connector and really trying to create a brand and a face that people could recognize and trust and turn to when they didn't know where else to go.
What does it mean to be in crisis? We hear that term a lot. If you are in crisis, call this number. How do you know if you're in crisis? I imagine it's somewhat subjective.
It can be subjective. The way that I look at it and how we sort of advertise the various levels of need that people might be experiencing and what help to seek out, that term crisis is, are you in imminent danger of hurting yourself or somebody else? That is the time to call 911. Also, if you're having those thoughts of harming yourself, there's great resources out there. And now with 988, there's still some glitches with that system. And so I've had some feedback about it not being perfect. However, it is a place where you can text or call to get that immediate support in a confidential, safe space. And they will help route you to, we have a mobile crisis team through Gunnison Valley Hospital's behavioral health team. And that's been instrumental to have local licensed therapists on call 24/7 that can respond in person to anybody who needs that support. And so that starts with reaching out to 988 if they feel like that is rising to a level of like you need more support in this moment. They can then deploy the mobile crisis team.
That sounds like an antidote to having police show up to a volatile situation where someone's having a mental health crisis and they end up getting shot or something. So rather than having the police, who are not really trained therapists, you have trained therapists showing up instead to maybe talk someone down or just get them to a place where they aren't in such a state of agitation, maybe.
Yeah, and doing safety planning is a lot of what they do. And now there's a co-response model. So there's a certified peer support specialist that is responding with the therapist. So those peers are somebody who have lived experience, so have had their own experiences with mental illness, substance use, what have you, showing up with a trained professional to say, hey, we're here to keep you safe and to figure out what you need. And the police actually do that a lot of that around here as well. But I also think it's a real barrier when you're not feeling safe yourself and having to make that call and have people showing up with sirens and in uniforms that are, you know, not always. And they're the best in our community. They mean so well, but it is a scary thing. And if you need that extra level of support and care and need to be transported, you know, thankfully our community is learning that it's maybe not the best to throw somebody in a mental health crisis in the back of a police car. And so really honing in on how do we support these individuals? How do we all together in the community as organizations break down the barriers that exist for people to reach out for help when they need it?
I recently read an article in the Colorado Sun by Jason Blevins that notes an increase in the demand for counseling in mountain communities in Colorado, particularly this time of year, and particularly this year, such a bad winter. What conditions or events prompt such upticks in demand? Sometimes they uptick annually, sometimes they're worse in some years than others. What are those circumstances that people are encountering that are causing them distress?
There are so many answers to that, and it's so unique to everybody, but I can say we are seeing a huge increase in demand for services. Just to give a little bit of perspective, I mean, CB State of Mind has been growing since 2020 and providing and connecting more individuals each year to that support they need. But again, to give perspective, in 2025, we supported 144 individuals total. Already, as of yesterday, we've supported 75 individuals in the year of 2026. And that is with the Therapy Scholarship Program, where we connect an individual to 10 free sessions of counseling with a licensed therapist. So that's 75 individuals, or over 800 individual sessions that have been provided already in 2026.
You mentioned 10 free, and I think that's one of the obstacles and one of the reasons people don't contact you or seek out professional help, is because they're afraid they can't afford it. Tell us a little bit about that and how you can help folks afford that more easily.
Yeah, so our biggest deliverable at CB State of Mind, we have three priority areas. We wanted to hone in, like I had said, around some of the needs that exist that maybe weren't getting filled by some of the other amazing organizations working on behavioral health in our community. And so we are working on increasing access, reducing stigma, and providing community connection, and really trying to focus in on those three areas with a mission of suicide prevention and behavioral health. You can go in a million different directions. And so with the increasing access, we have created a therapy scholarship program that is open to anyone in Gunnison County. We serve all ages, all demographics. Anybody who feels like they can't afford that service, we will help you. If you're uninsured, a lot of people are underinsured, meaning you have health insurance coverage, but it's a high deductible health plan and it's catastrophic. This year, we've seen a large need around folks who are with the health insurance system in general, and I won't go too much into it, but the cost of private health insurance this year has skyrocketed. I had an individual apply for a scholarship, and she has a great job full time. She's a single individual paying, I think, $747 a month for a insurance plan with an $8,000 deductible, meaning you have to pay $8,000 before it'll cover any type of service, including behavioral health. And so we're serving a lot of those individuals as well. And we're also seeing a lot of people losing their Medicaid benefits. There was some changes with some of that at the system level. But back to your question about this winter, I think the low snowpack was really detrimental to a lot of folks. Obviously, if your work and your income was related to snow removal, or I think just the lack of visitors in a resort community as well, businesses were making less money, and so employees were having less shifts. It was just such a ripple effect on the economy, on people's state of mind, and really having to focus on, like, it's okay, I can still be happy if I'm not skiing powder days, and all of that ripple effect, I think, was really hard for folks.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned, stigma, and another thing that plays into this, I think, sometimes is guilt. People are deterred from seeking help because they think they should be happy even if they aren't. Things like, well, I live in paradise, so what right do I have to feel bad or feel sad? I should be happy. What's wrong with me? And they will fail to seek help because they think it's a personal shortcoming or failing, right?
They call it the paradise paradox. Somebody asked me recently if I came up with that term, and I did not. But it is real. And there's some great, there's a great film called The Paradise Paradox I would encourage people to go seek out, which talks about just this. It's that I'm moving to the mountains. It's so beautiful. I get to do all of the amazing outdoor adventures that I love doing. And then you land here and you realize, it's really expensive and I have to work three jobs and I actually don't have time to play. And I'm so tired, which sleep is such an indicator of poor mental health outcomes. You're removed from your family support system a lot of times. And so if you don't have that tribe, and a lot of people are coping with substance use, it is a huge problem in this community. And so I think the stigma is, I'm supposed to be happy. I shouldn't feel sad. I am stressed out. I maybe don't have the income that I thought I would have to live the lifestyle that you want to live here in terms of housing security or all of the fancy toys that everyone else has or the fancy vacations when it's mud season. All of those things are reality and are hard for people when they get here.
You are listening to the West Elk Word here on KBUT. I'm Toni Todd, here today with Megan Doherty, Executive Director for CB State of Mind, a local nonprofit dedicated to the mental well-being of our community. This community, many mountain communities, are, I think, what you might describe as substance tolerant. How does that impact folks' well-being? I mean, there are the obvious things, obviously, that you can, if you get too drunk and you fall down, you hurt yourself. But there are the less obvious impacts that whittle away at you over time.
Yes, there's a very high acceptance of substance use. I think when people are struggling or sad and are feeling lonely, they often turn to the bars and the social scene. It's alcohol specifically is just ingrained in everything that we do in the community, I think up and down the valley. It's just that social piece that's so ingrained, and we've been working on different ways to address that, but it's such a cultural norm that has been here for a very long time and is not unique to Gunnison County. It's very consistent across other resort mountain communities. One of the things we're trying to do is provide free community connection events. We have several throughout the months, and those are spaces that we're creating that are open to everyone, are free, that are substance free, and have some type of mental wellness benefit. A lot of them are free sound baths and yoga classes, but we're also doing informational conversations. A great new volunteer out of Gunnison is starting these new mountain bike meetups for people who want to go ride with other people that maybe don't have that tribe on their own. So trying to create spaces where you can come make a new connection, find a new friend, be amongst other humans while having some type of shared experience, but in a sober and accessible environment.
And speaking of being with and amongst other humans, finding your tribe, as you describe it, you mentioned to me before we went on the mic the community survey and one of the startling results of that.
Yeah, we recently just got back our data. This is the second time of doing this community survey and behavioral health needs assessment. And combing through the data recently, one of the most striking data points to me was the percentage of people who live in Gunnison County that feel isolated and lonely. So we did the survey in 2024 and again in 2026, and we have 60% of Gunnison County community members reporting feeling lonely.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah. And I, in my position at CB State of Mind, aware of these data points and just knowing that this is something that I would like to address, I really struggle with, okay, so we can put on these events and we can put on community conversations around mental health and anxiety, but how do you really reach those people that are not feeling comfortable coming out into these groups or showing up at a yoga studio they're not already connected to? And I'm not ignorant to the fact that I don't think we're hitting the mark on that. We did have a community conversation just on Monday evening, and somebody was like, how about if we have a conversation about how we as the people who are comfortable can help address the loneliness, or how do you encourage people or remind people, you know, to reach out to others or to invite a new person in? Or like I said, I don't have the answers, but I'm real passionate about figuring it out.
What impact do you think technology and our attachment to devices is having on that and just our overall well-being?
I think technology, I have a love-hate relationship with technology.
We all do.
And I think it's amazing. Right now, the access to information is both a blessing and a curse. You are hearing about everything that's horrible that's going on in the world and in our bubble in real time. And that can be really hard if you're hearing about one of the many sad community losses that we've experienced in the last 2 weeks for the first time on social media, and maybe you're sitting by yourself, and how are you processing that, or who can you have a conversation about with that? On the flip side, as part of these conversations and education experiences, we're hearing that, you know, social media specifically has an algorithm to make you feel inadequate. Like, it is designed to do that. And when you look at your feed on Instagram, nobody is posting all of the hardships that they're having and the saddest moments. It is a skewed sense of reality that we are seeing, particularly detrimental for young people. And just the dopamine hits that you're getting when you're scrolling. And I have a sense of the hiding behind your screen and the communication that is happening not in person, and how courageous people can be with their commentary, feeling that anonymity, the need for information that maybe isn't something that they need to know, the commentary on some really sad events and the judgment that can be put out in a moment's time without thinking. And then everybody is seeing that, and it's impacting people in different ways and often not in a positive way.
Yeah, some of the terminology they use to describe some of these things, pretty accurate, like doom scrolling or FOMO, fear of missing out. Those things are real.
I think it's invoking a lot of fear in people too. A therapist recently had mentioned, you know, not even political, but if our world is being led by people that don't see them as safe, the sense of fear and anxiety that comes with that as a human emotion, anxiety is on the rise. And I have some opinions about, I think, social media and technology contributing to that in a significant way.
And we're seeing, especially in younger people, right? Yeah.
And learning about, like, just anxiety and emotions and really thinking about all these things. And I want just everyone to remember that these are all human emotions. And I think it's really important for everyone to just sit and acknowledge and accept that you're having that emotion. I wanted to touch on grief just a little bit too, just with recent events. I think it's really important for everyone to understand that, like, everybody processes and has different emotions at different times, and they're all okay. You don't have to feel a certain way or feel ashamed that you don't feel sad, or you're feeling extra sad, and even though you didn't, like, know the person, or this tragic world event isn't impacting you specifically, but you're feeling something about it. I think it's just really important for everyone to acknowledge, recognize emotions that you're having, whether it be grief, anxiety, stress, and be okay with sitting with that and recognizing that, and understanding why I think you're feeling that way.
And understanding that those are natural feelings, those are natural emotions, and that you will work through them, you will get through them. And it's important to acknowledge them in the moment, knowing that down the road, you will feel better.
And if you don't, and you're sitting with that emotion too, that it's not shameful to reach out for help. It doesn't make you a weak person. If you're reaching out to CB State of Mind for a little financial support to find that connection, you're not taking that away from somebody who deserves it more than you. I get that comment more than not. Well, I almost didn't reach out because I know there's somebody more deserving. No, you are all deserving. Everybody has hard times, and it's okay to need somebody else to help process through some of that. And it's important to not feel like you have to deal with all of that alone.
Yeah, and in fact, I think some would make the argument that reaching out is a sign of strength versus weakness.
It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable. As I'm sitting here wearing my oxygen, if you hear these tiny noises in the background, it takes a lot to say, like, this is hard, and I can recognize it being hard, and it's okay to let people know that it's hard and I'm not having a good day, or walking into the studio today and everyone recognizing that like people are sad and we don't all have the answers or know how to show up or how to respond, but just having that collective energy around acknowledgement that it is this way, and figuring out together how to move through that is important.
Yeah, I think that's where we get back to this, the benefit of having or finding your tribe, having people in your life, whether it's your mountain biking friends or it's your ski buddies or it's your fellow moms out there with toddlers or whoever it might be, your fellow seniors who you hang out with once in a while and go out to dinner with or eat senior lunch with or whatever. Those are all really important connections that we all need to be both aware of and appreciate, and also maybe be mindful of the others around us and how they seem and how they seem to be feeling, and to be a support for them if we need to.
Yeah, and at CB State of Mind, we're trying to create that community for everybody. Specifically, April is Mental Health Awareness Month and the Green Light Campaign. And the whole premise behind this Green Light Campaign was just to shine a light on mental health, but show that you care about yourself, you care about this community, you care about your neighbors. And it's just such a gentle reminder when you see those green lights that like, hey, I'm not alone, and it can spark a little bit of happiness. And we talk about ourselves as the Aspen Grove analogy a lot at CB State of Mind, that we're all interconnected. It's all one organism. And if one person's struggling, one amazing benefit is that this community all leans in and shows up for those folks who need a little extra. And CB State of Mind is trying to be one of those caveats to that as well. But it's important to just know and recognize that not everyone has that tribe and not everyone has someone to lean on. And so I think if we can all kind of show up walking down the street, recognizing that that person might be lonely, a little smile and a hello or a 5-second conversation really boosts your own mental well-being as well as somebody else's.
How can folks support your efforts in our community? That's one way, actually, just to be there and be there for each other. What's another way? You're a nonprofit?
We are a nonprofit. So, I mean, if you're financially able to help us sustain the support that we're giving away for free, and that includes scholarships, it includes those community connection events, we have trainings going on, please visit cbstateofmind.org. We created a website that is accessible and a place to get safe, confidential information and just explore. If you're interested in hosting one of those community connection events, maybe you're an artist and you just want to gather people to create together, we're always looking for and open to people who want to help support those community connection events. You know, you had mentioned on our website, we have an ambassador program. It really is an idea that hasn't taken off in a structured way. But the idea is that, hey, can we all talk about mental health, what that means, and check in on each other and recognize, you know, hardship and the successes as well. CB State of Mind is a very small organization in a very large spectrum of services and organizations. We are a team of 1.5 with an amazing board of directors. It started grassroots because this community cares about one another, and that ambassador program is just, hey, have some knowledge, learn some information, and pass it on.
Well, Megan Doherty, Executive Director of CB State of Mind, thank you for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or any edition of the program anytime. Go to kbut.org, click Programs, then West Elk Word. Thanks for listening. See you next time.